Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stories from Unknown Authors. I'm your host, award-winning children's author, Renee Hand. This show is for children's authors who have great stories to share with the world. This is a show to help unknown authors and aspiring writers to become known. Check out this show every week, and thank you for listening to Stories from Unknown Authors, your place to learn about new and upcoming book releases and about authors who make a difference in a child's life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Stories from Unknown Authors. I'm your host, award-winning author Renee Hand. Joining us today is author Hope Irvin Marston. She is here to talk to us about her book, My Little Book of Bald Eagles. Welcome, Hope.
Welcome to you. Welcome for asking me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Now, first I want to mention that the review for My Little Book of Bald Eagles is up on my blog at thecryptocapersseries.blogspot.com. For anyone who wishes to read that and comment, it would be greatly appreciated. Remember to also become a follower of the show to keep up with your favorite authors. Now, Hope, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a farmer's daughter, farmer's wife, the number 8 of 9 children, grew up in central Pennsylvania, married a man from Maine. I tell school kids when I visit, I married a maniac. But we've lived in New York on the edge of Fort Drum for about 42 years. We were transferred out here, not by the Army. And I was a junior high teacher and librarian.
Oh, wow. So now how long have you been writing?
Writing for publication, my first official publication in a book form was in 1972, so 40-plus years. Fun years.
Great. Now, what inspired My Little Book of Bald Eagles?
Good question, Renee. It was inspired by an invitation from my publisher to write it. What better?
Oh, really?
It's one of a series, and some of them were my, the first one was my choice. I didn't set out to do a series, but the last couple were the publisher's idea, and a wonderful idea. I enjoyed doing it.
Oh, good. Now, what is the first book in the series?
The first book is My Little Book of Wood Ducks. And then came Growing Owls. Those were my ideas. And then the publishers were Painted Turtles, and then Wolves, and then River Otters. I'm thinking there's 8 of them. And Manatees, and White-tailed Deer, and then the Bald Eagles.
Great. Now, do you have one with the manta ray as well? Is that part of the series? Is that a little different?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, I have a book on a manta ray that was published by Soundprints. It's a company that does the animal along with the book. And that was I kept trying to sell them my wood duck book, and I didn't succeed. But then they called. Another nice thing that happened, they called and said, would I do a book on manta rays? What are manta rays? If they're in the snake family, no. But they
right, you know.
So.
Well, good. Yeah, because you have a lot of great animal books out there, and I did notice that. And so, because you have, 8 books in this series? So that is fabulous. Yeah. So something inspired by you, something that your publisher had said, you know, I think it would be a good idea to go this route. And so you have a very interesting book. And it's pretty cool because, I mean, you talk about bald eagles, and you chose something specific to talk about them. Now, for those who don't know about My Little Book of Bald Eagles, can you tell us about it and share that with us?
All right. Well, each of these books in this series are life cycles. So we begin with either eggs being laid or new babies being born, and then follow them through their life cycles. And this was especially exciting to me because I grew up in central Pennsylvania where it's farming territory in Bald Eagle Valley. But there weren't any bald eagles there. But there are bald eagles now, so it's just kind of a nice thing to do. But when I wrote the book, the illustrator said to me, I write the book and then the illustrator draws the pictures, and I share my findings, and she does her own too. But she said, okay, where do these eagles live? And I hadn't thought about that. So these are really Alaskan eagles that we're writing about. She said, I have to know where to put this. So there's a secret. Don't tell all the lower 48 that, but these we are setting was from what would be there in Alaska, where that's the biggest eagle population. But they're such majestic birds, and because they are making a comeback in my home territory, it was just an exciting thing to do this life cycle. And teachers, and of course, being our national animal is good too, but teachers like these series of life cycle books for their science classes. So it was nice to do a patriotic bird for them to discuss in that class.
Right. Yeah, I think it's great how you did that, and I like the fact that you carried, it's like, you know, in your series, you kind of carried the whole lexical thing through. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
In each one of your books. I think it's really cool that you did that, because it's not really like a story per se as well. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's not really a fictional story. It's more of like a true animal story of their life cycle. But it's just, I think it's just done in a fun way. You know, and I think the illustrations are fabulous and really go with the text very well. I think a lot of children really like that, I think, when they read your books. My son, the animal lover, loved it.
I'm going to give a word for the illustrators, because a picture book without pictures would be not a picture book, obviously, but they really make the story. And of all the books, the one I'm writing is my favorite. But this one, there was something about it, and for a while I thought, why do I think this is the best? Because until this one came out, my River Otters, that was number 5, was my favorite of them. And then I realized the illustrator in this one, the last 3 are illustrated by Stephanie Maraca. Stephanie, the first picture is a far away picture. You're looking way, way up where the eagle's nest is, and all you can see is looks like a tennis, like a golf ball, but that's the head.
Right.
But then you turn the page, and that eagle is right in your face, right there. It's like you almost want to back off. And from then on, Stephanie has you right there, and it's spectacular. She's a terrific illustrator. And I'm very, very grateful for her. The others were illustrated by another super illustrator who couldn't continue, but Stephanie has done a great job with the bald eagles and with the manatees.
Oh, fabulous. Now, I have to ask, because I always ask this question whenever I deal with picture books, because there's so many illustrations. Which one is your favorite illustration?
I don't have a favorite illustration, I guess, unless it would be in the bald eagle book, because in the wolf book it's a blue night scene, because I like blue. Thanks for that blue on my favorite. I haven't thought about that, Renee. I just like them all. The first one I was about, ooh, this is kind of subdued, I'm used to splash. But I realized that far away she set the scene, and then she brought me right up there to it, brought the reader right up there. And that's fantastic.
Right.
Illustrators can do that, and we writers don't know how to do that, but they do.
Yeah, I mean, we do so in words, but not like that. I mean, I think that probably one of my favorite illustrations of the book, I think, is that second illustration, the second full-page illustration. You're right. With that first illustration, she has you kind of far away. Look at that nest, kind of like you're in an airplane, you know, looking over. And then the second one, is you hear that eagle coming, like, right at you. It's like, ah. It's probably one of my favorite ones, that one. Yeah.
I like the one too, though, where they're learning to fly when they first fledge, and one it was interesting to see what an illustrator does with my words. But well, one just about missed the branch, and the other plopped in a different direction. I thought, oh, that's great! That's
right.
What I liked. I mean, I didn't have it really in mind. I just knew that they missed where they were going. So,
great.
illustrators' talents are much appreciated by writers.
But I like so, too, that especially in some of the following pages where she has noises, you know, twirl and twirl, chitter, chitter, chitter. And then I like how some of the words kind of, like, curve down, or some are big and some are small, and it has, like, different, the words kind of go in different directions. That's fun, too, for the kids.
Yes, that started with Maria Brown, the illustrator, Maria Magdalena Brown, I should say. She started that, making the words big or small and moving them out of line.
Yeah.
The words don't just march across the paper with this little block of pictures. But that's fantastic. I like the way she did that. And she did it in the manatees, too, when the manatees roll over. I think that adds interest to the students, too, especially little kids that you're reading the book, too, because they follow, and their eyes twirl around like twirl and twirl. And,
right.
So the talents that the illustrator brings to the book, and I need to remember that without the illustrator, this book is nothing.
Yeah, it was, well, I, that's the thing. You know, I find that I review, you know, by hundreds of children's books, but it's the biggest thing with picture books. It's the first thing people see is the pictures. And I've read picture, you know, I've read books where the illustrations are awesome, but the text is okay. And I've read books where the text is awesome, but the illustrations were okay. And then I've read them where they're both fabulous, you know, where it was a good mesh of good text and, you know, good artwork, and it really takes the reader on their own little journey there. And so I think that your illustrations with your text and how everything goes around, I think it's very appealing for children.
Well, I'm sure that was Stephanie's goal, and I think she reached it. And I'm delighted that she's my illustrator.
Very good. Now, do you have any new books coming out of the of My Little Book series?
No, not right now. I'm sure. Well, I say I'm sure. I'm only fooled for sure. But I'm quite sure. But the reason there's not one coming out right now, because we're doing about every other year, is because the most recent book I have out, came out in December, is published by the same publisher, Windward Publishing, Windward Books. And so all the energies went into this kind of a different channel, not that they're moving that direction. In fact, this is their first book of this kind. But I think in time we will get back to the others. But right now we're basking in this new Eye on the Iditarod. And the publisher is very, very excited about it. And I'm pleased because it was a brand new idea, a new era, new genre. They do not publish middle grade books. They do not publish biographies. And there's a biography of a, well, now she's 14. She's most of the book is about when she's 11. So the energies are going there, and I appreciate that. They're very much pushing the book, and I'm doing my part to push too. And that's why I appreciate blog tours like yours. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now tell us more about, I mean, the Eye on the Iditarod. Is it Aisling's quest? It's interesting. That's an interesting story too, and I like the artwork on that one too. I think it's very realistic. I think it's like pictures, like actual pictures. I think almost changed. I think it looks really, really well done. But tell us about that story as well. I'm very interested in it.
All right. First, the title is Ashley. You would never have guessed.
Oh, Ashley.
A-I-S-L-I-N-G.
Yeah, no.
It's Celtic. Uh-huh. I didn't guess it either, and I have a Scots interest. But it is Celtic. But now she's continuing racing. She's going by her middle name, Laura, because she says people couldn't pronounce Ashley, and they thought it was funny, too. So she's in junior high, and so she's Laura, which is a lot easier. But this is a true story. And if you look at the book, it will say that it's by Ashley Laura Shepherd with Hope Urban Marston. Well, that's an unusual situation. You don't say, I'm writing somebody else's autobiography.
Right.
So how it happened was that when I found out about her and her interest in sled dogs and mushing, that she wants to someday run this last minute Iditarod race, which starts this weekend, the 1,100-mile race. When I found out about her, we found out, that's another story, it's too long, but I met her and I emailed her and asked her if I could write about her. And so I have I have two big notebooks of letters that she wrote me answering my questions so I could write this book. And the reason it's called Eye on the Iditarod is because when at 3 years old, she saw the first Iditarod race on television, and she wanted a dog. She wanted her dog to race around the yard. Well, she was 13, and she didn't want to race, so she got another one. But she's been a professional, she's been racing officially since she was 5, with her eyes someday doing that Iditarod one. So I'm writing her story and saying, Ashley did this, Ashley did that, and I'm a former English teacher. I thought, this is never going to work. So I just pretended I was Ashley, and it was easy to do because I would say that this is 75% her words, things that she wrote me in letters. You know, I'm the teacher, the editor, so I shape them up. So the book says it's by Ashley Laura Shepherd with Hope Irvin Marston. But one of the things that I'd like people to know, because they wouldn't if I didn't tell them, and if you read the book, you'll see it, but it says that when she was born, she was legally blind. And here's this girl that's going to take a hair-raising across Alaska, 1,000 miles where the trail is obscured by snow, depending on her own skills and her dogs to do it. She's a
great,
most unique girl. So that's why my story starts out I, and it's told as an autobiography. But I did it, but I did it with her words, with some editing. And she's a terrific student and girl too. She's 14 now, and following up on this being legally blind, they told her mom that she would they could fix what was wrong with her eyes, but it would take surgeries through the years. So she's always
Great.
Worn glasses from the time she was little bitty. I had her I'm ready for her first surgery. But last year she had her final surgery when she was 13, and this year she got contacts, which I'm really excited for her. So I said, Ashley, I won't even recognize you when I see you. Of course, her book, the last page of the book has her with her dog, Dano, her superstar in training. And she
Great.
Did look a lot different than I saw her when she was 11. But fantastic girl, fantastic goals, a girl with a drive. She's not going to let anything legal stop her. You know, she's,
Right.
She's going for it. She has a very supportive single mom and a very supportive grandfather she calls Poppy. And they're in this together, and someday I expect to see her. Well, I guess we won't see it in person, but I'm watching the Iditarod on TV. They'll say it out of the gate is Laura Shepherd, because she's going to be Shepherd on her way to Nome. I said, good girl, go, go, go. You think I'm excited
That's pretty
about
cool.
this
kid? Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, but the Iditarod, you know, it's funny because we used to live in the UP. We live in Michigan. And when I thought they were going to college, and when we were up there, they did ride go through Marquette. One of the stops they would do, because every year,
yeah.
you know, we always remember we'd watch.
Oh, I'd
we'd watch the race. Yeah, and we'd there was a restaurant right by the water, and we would go out to eat, and then we would stay there, and we'd watch as they go by. And the dogs would stop.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, no, it's okay. The dogs would stop, and then they'd go through health checks, so it's pretty interesting.
Oh, yes. Well, with so many kids getting pressed because of bad things, it's so nice to hear of somebody who has a drive, has a worthwhile goal, and who's doing something about it and is not waiting to be waited on. She's got drive, and she's going to do it. This was a bad, bad winter in Maine for snow. She only got to race once, and it was icy, icy, icy. She flipped her sled three times and came back bruised and bruised and battered, but tomorrow she showed up again. But then they canceled it because they realized, hey, we don't want to kill off our future measures.
Right.
So they postponed it. But she's had her shares of being bruised and battered, but she's not a quitter. Her mom told her, shepherds don't quit, shepherds don't cry. And her mom models what she said, and boy, Ashley's got her mom's genes, and I'm really proud of her. We want to adopt her, but her mom said she wasn't up for adoption.
Oh.
Get rid of their teenagers for 4 years.
She's
a sweetheart. Her mom's a sweetheart, and she loves her dogs. We met her and her mom and her Poppy and her 26 dogs a couple of years ago. That's eye on the Iditarod. She's got her eye on there. Nothing's going to dissuade her.
Oh, good. That's really cool. So now when we read or see more about the Iditarod, we'll be looking for her. So I think it's really cool. Now, it's interesting. I find that you write, you have, 32 books published, right?
It's 32 kids' books, yes.
Now, you have written some books about animals. You have some that are, true story, kind of like this one, like the Eye of the Iditarod. But then you also have, a little bit religious stories a little bit, too. Like you have the one
yes.
against the tide.
Yes, Margaret Wilson's story. I have an interest in Scotland, goes way, way back to when I was a kid, but I was one of the things writers do to make money, because we aren't really too rich, most of us, is you find other jobs. And for a while I was proofreader for a publishing company, and I read about Margaret Wilson. I read the inscription on her grave marker in Woodstown in Scotland, southwestern Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And I was fascinated by what it said, so I started digging out that story. And one of the nice things that happened is I went twice to Scotland to dig. That was fun. it was a challenge because I'm writing about something that happened, someone who lived 350 years ago approximately. in another country. So that was, I have written a book about a former slave in America from Kentucky. Well, that was quite easy compared with trying to find out something about someone in Scotland who was not notorious or world famous. But things worked out, and finally, one of the nice things that happened is I had contact to a pen pal that I've had for 50-plus years who tracked down the name of a lady in Scotland who was the authority in Margaret Wilson, and that the Covenanters, that's with the group of Scotch Presbyterians who refused to be cowed into submission and giving up their faith by a very immoral king, Charles II, and the people that were willing to die for their faith. And I was so impressed by her. And a lady who has written about the Covenanters invited me to come to Scotland when she heard about this and stay with her and her husband. And she said, I will take you to all of the places where Margaret lived, where she grew up, where she was martyred. I even, when I went, got to go to the cell where she was the night before, where she was kept until she was taken out and drowned. That was, you know, awesome is not the word. I cannot describe how I felt thinking, here's where she was at this little window with all the light that came in, and oh my, it was I think the most moving experience I've ever had in my life. And I'm really pleased with that book. And again, another role model who has a goal, whose focus is there, and is not going to be dissuaded by hardships or whatever. Actually, hardships are different, but they're both very, very driven. Of course, actually, it's different. Age is different, but just a remarkable girl. And it was a joy. It was a privilege to write her story, and I want girls to realize you can have goals and fight for them. Don't be dissuaded by something that shouldn't be dissuading you from your goals, from your dreams, from your convictions.
Right. Now, because you have sort of like a mixed genres that you write, what is your favorite genre? Like, what is your favorite genre to write?
Right now, it's historical fiction. I'm so interested in the animals, but that's where I'm headed right now. Because the two books I've written about people, one was historical fiction, the other was a biographical, this runaway slave. But writing about another time period, I'm really interested in. One of the adult books I had published was published by Syracuse University, was called Salmon River Odyssey. It's about in a Pulaski village about 30 miles south of Watertown. It's about an hour's drive from me. And, I lost where I was going with my thinking. Oh, I know. I was very impressed because we live in central New York, and that's central New York, too. We're a little bit north of central New York. But the people who settled in Pulaski, which was called Fishville then because of the huge abundance of salmon, came from western Vermont, and they came in winter to get across the Hudson River. And they brought their cows with them. I mean, that's the only way they're going to have cows. And I thought, I grew up on a farm. And I said, you don't make a cow go anywhere she doesn't want to go. All she has to do is step on your foot. And I was impressed by that. And then I found later that cows have gone more recently. They've walked cows from Vermont to Missouri to some kind of a particular breed celebration, whatever. But anyway, I was impressed by that. So one of my works in progress is a story of a girl who's traveling with her family in winter in about 1805, 1806 from western Vermont to New York with her cow. Poppy, her cow. It's interesting, I'm writing Poppy, the grandfather, and Hannah's in Ashley's book, and there's Poppy is the cow in Hannah's book, but the cow is reddish colored like Poppy, so that's why. And now we live near Sackett's Harbor, which was where the very first battle of the War of 1812 was, when shots were first fired there, and I was asked if I would consider writing a book for kids because the bicentennial was coming up. So that's what I'm working very fast to get done with to get out. I would admit that I worked and I thought it was all done, and there were 20 publishers who said no thanks. So I knew something was wrong, and then I took a closer look. Actually, I took a Darcy Patterson novel revision workshop, and I could see it was pretty bad book. So I redid it, and it's almost ready to be published, I mean, to be submitted. I'm going to, in this one, I'm going to go ebook because there's not time to, obviously, the worst by Centennial. So I'm July. There's not time to find another publisher, but I'm kind of interested in seeing how where this is going to go. I have a terrific cover illustration drawn by an Army Life Virus group, so things are moving with that. So after my conversation today, which I'm enjoying, I'm going to get back to my final editing and get that mailed off to the lady who the professional editor who is helping me on by Wednesday, and then I'll get back to.
Yes. Oh, very good. It's a very busy woman. A lot of great things in the works here. Now, you are currently on the World of Ink book blog tour, right?
Yes, I am, and I'm enjoying it. I appreciate the invitations and the chance to tell people about my books. It's certainly a broader knowledge, a broader audience than I've ever engendered before on my own. And one of the reasons I wanted to do it is because my publisher has been so much behind this book that I want to do my part too. And I thought, okay, this is a way I can show that, yes, I appreciate what you're doing, Mr. Kreisen. So here I am, talking whenever I have the chance or writing blogs.
Oh, good. Yep, you know, and the World of Ink, the blog book tours, they really are a great opportunity to get these children's books out there to various people and the various audiences. And so they're really good to do. So I'm really glad that you're enjoying it. It's lots of fun, too. It's a whole other world. But, you know, in all honesty, it's like you almost get more of a reach doing it that way than you would. And it's cheaper, certainly, than traveling to different cities and doing all that kind of stuff. I think you reach a broader audience online. So I think it's great that you're doing that. I'm a very big supporter of the book blog tours. Now, how is your books available? Are they, you know, hardcover, softcover, you know, e-book, Kindle?
War of 1812 book will be on Kindle. These others are, for the most part, soft color cover. When I first started writing my books they're about tractor trailers and ambulances and fire trucks, and they were hardcover, first with Dodd Mead and then with Cobble Hill Books. But my little books are all in paperback, so most everything is soft cover. And Sackett's Harbor, Powder Monkey, War of 1812 will be in Kindle. And then after that, I hope I also can get it in print book because teachers are going to want that for their classrooms. It's middle grade reading like Ashley's Eye on the Iditarod story is.
Oh, fabulous. Now, for listeners who are interested in purchasing your books, because you have quite a few, and I think the quick ones are amazing, where can they do that? I mean, are they available in bookstores? Can you buy them online? Can you get them through you?
They're on Amazon Books, and also 9 of them are from Windward Publishing, and they are available online from Windward Publishing. These, if you go to my website, www.hopeirvinmarston, HOPEIRVINMARSTON.com, the ordering information. You can order right directly from there to Winwood or to Amazon. And to me, too, if you want them autographed, I will do that, too.
Well, fabulous. So people can connect you through your website and can get book signed copies from you, too, which is always awesome. Okay, so you gave us your website. Now, do you have a blog? Do you blog at all?
No, I don't. I know that's important. That's why I'm glad I can do this, but I don't have time. I am not a young lady. My time is limited. I want to write, not write blogs. I want to write books.
Right.
So I look for things like World of Ink Tours and people, you know, that kind of thing, because I don't think I could keep up with a blog. And I want to, you know, I want to mention one thing, Renee, that I should have made back there when we were talking about the Bald Eagles and Eye of the Iditarod. My illustrator for the Eye of the Iditarod is he's a personal friend of mine. Although I didn't choose him, the publisher chose him from a suggestion I made some time ago. But it's Bob Renaud. He's a high school art teacher, and he did a terrific job with this with the pictures of Ashley, the illustrations of Ashley, and I certainly want him to be credited because this was his first book. It's very exciting for him. Like I said, Bob, it's my 32nd book, and I'm just as excited as you are.
Right.
That was my PS.
Well, Well, very good. Now, I'm going to ask you, but I think I'm going to know your answer, but are you into the social media sites then, like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, but I have to confess my ignorance of how these things work. I go to Facebook when somebody tells me, when I know there's a message there. But I have yet to figure out Twitter and LinkedIn, how to use them. And I know they're there and they're valuable, but I need a 101 on using those. Got any courses you're offering?
No. Well, you know, I kind of thought that would be your answer because I know that you're available on a lot of these different sites. But you know what they are? They're time-consuming, and it took me actually a little while to figure out how in the world am I going to use all this stuff. But it does get used, and it's interesting how you can connect with people. You have no idea who they are, but they're interested in what you do. So it's just another way of connecting to other people, really. But it can be so time-consuming, which is why I kind of minimize my time on there as well. If someone responds to me, I'll do it. But most part, I kind of have my stuff up running and have everything attached to it, and they can up themselves for me. So it works out good. But yeah, at least you're available though on those social networks because it is important that your stuff is out there in different ways too. So I think it's fabulous. Now, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about you or your books?
I think the thing that I want to share is something that. Because I want readers, and I know this is what people have to know about me before they're going to find my book. But a lot of times, every now and then I get a phone call or an email from someone who has just written this fabulous book this last month and wants to know how to get published. And there's a message I try to get across when I do school visits and to these people as well, that it's a skill. You have to have some talent, but it's a skill you have to develop to write for publication. It's not writing your diary. It's not writing your letter to your mom at home. It's not writing to your girlfriend. And you learn skills by practicing over and over with a mentor or with a guide, with somebody who's helping you. And you don't do it overnight. And there's no quick fix. And you're not going to get rich because you wrote this picture book last week.
Exactly.
So it's a skill to be learned. I've been trying. 72 was my first little book that was published, but my first official kids book hardcover was in 78. And I took courses and I went to workshops, and now I can say, hey, I know a lot. You know, I spent a lot of time learning, and I haven't arrived. I mean, I do things over and over and over and over, and I rewrite. And so I guess my message is like the same message that Ashley got. If you want to run the rod, you get out there and you run your dogs. You practice, and you get help. And that's what writers need to do, whether you're a child wanting to be published, whether you're a retired person wanting to get published, or whatever. That's the way to go. So just don't give up, like Ashley. She said, shepherds don't cry, shepherds don't give up. Writers who are going to be published, do not give up. They just keep on writing, but getting some help to show them what's wrong. And that's why I'm grateful to Darcy Patterson's Novel Revision Workshop. What I learned is so valuable because it applies to everything I write. So she made me go get them after them.
Go ahead.
I just am grateful for publicity things like the World of Ink Tours, and thank you, Renee, for inviting me to be your guest, because I like to talk about my books and writing. I want the world to know that I am a writer, and I know that the more my name is on the internet, the more people are apt to find my books. So I thank you for letting me do this.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I mean, I think you give authors such good advice, and I kind of go along right with what you're saying. When people ask me, too, about writing, I always tell them, if it's your dream, do it. Follow through with it. Don't give up on it. If you have rejections or anything, just keep going. But my thing is that don't just write a book because you feel it's a good story and you should write it. I go, to consider the fact of what you're doing and how much effort and time you got to put into it. And I go, and if it's something that you really want to do, do it. But put the time into it.
Yeah.
Understand that it's a lot of work. It's not just something that people can just whip off and say, okay, here we go.
And it has to be something that really, really excites you. I did a couple of things that I thought, this is where the market is. And it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't well written. it's got to be something. Well, that the Against the Tide, Margaret, this Valor of Margaret Wilson. It was probably now 35 years ago when I first read about her, but she wouldn't go away.
Right.
So I took a lot of digging. I would think, I can't do this. I don't know enough. But she said, I want you to tell my story. And I did it. So you go through the things that you really are excited about, and you can do a good
right.
job. If you aren't excited, you're not going to be able to fake it. So your heart's got to be there, and then it comes across
right.
on the page.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. Because if you're excited about it and you enjoy it, then your readers are going to enjoy it too. Because they can feel the excitement.
I read somewhere, too, I think I go along with that. It said that. Here, that you have to feel your story. And I have cried more over Ashley's story than I was writing it. Because of things that happen. I mean, there's
right.
some sad things that happen. Sad things do happen in life. So I read somewhere, no tears in the writer, no tears in the reader. Well, you've got to cry
right.
when you get that book. Get your Kleenex out. But it has a happy ending. So the happy ending is
there
coming in Nome about 10 years from now.
Oh, good. Now, I'm so glad we're able to do this. I appreciate you being on my show and letting everyone know more about you and your books. Just another reminder that My Little Book of Bald Eagles Review is up on my blog at thecryptocapersseries.blogspot.com, where listeners can leave comments for Hope as well as for myself. I would look forward to reading those. If they are not posted right away, give some time and do that, and I'll take care of it as soon as we are finished. Thank you again, Hope. It's been a pleasure.
Well, the pleasure was mine, Renee. I appreciate the opportunity being there, and I hope your readers will enjoy The Bald Eagles and Ashley's story, too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I know they will. And for my listeners, remember that this is your place to learn about interesting, unique, and inspiring books. This is where unknown children's authors become known. Have a great week, and I will be back here on March 9th to discuss The Cameo Effect by Nioma Stephen. This is an adult mystery. Please join me for that and the other authors I will be having on the show in March. Remember that March is reading month. So I have a lot of great books on my blog. You know, check that out for a lot of the authors that I've had on the show. I'm going to be busy going to schools and doing speaking events throughout the month of March. So I'm kind of limiting the number of authors I have on the show during that month. That's because I'm going to be so crazy busy. But check them out on my blog. A lot of great stuff. And then feel free to also visit my website at reneeahan.com to learn about all of my books as well for the elementary and middle school area. That'd be great, too. And check it out. And have me come to your child's school. That's great, too. A lot of great stuff. So make sure, again, check out my blog to all the authors that I have had in the show in the past. Check out their books and see if they become your child's next favorite. Until then, have a safe and blessed week.